Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
Those bridges will be one lane controlled by temporary traffic signals for about the next month.
Bridges in northern Kentucky will be getting an upgrade.
A truck stolen from Moorhead's Main Street has been recovered.
The duct tape bandit lost his appeal.
Kentucky ranks well behind the rest of the country in several key health issues.
Preliminary enrollment numbers at Moorhead State University look good.
In sports, the Reds finish a series with the Cubs tonight at 7:10.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with lows around 55 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is spending $237,000 to renovate a pair of bridges in northeastern Kentucky. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says crews are resurfacing both the Kentucky 2 Bridge over Leatherwood Creek in Greenup County and the Kentucky 989 Bridge over Salt Creek in Lewis County.
It's still in good shape. We just need to replace the driving surface on that bridge to keep it in good shape, you know, for the future. So, you know, those structures will be one lane. We just want to point out the Kentucky 989 Bridge in Lewis County is right at the intersection of the AA highway. So people should watch for backed up traffic there on the AA and 989.
Blair says the project should take about a month to complete. However, he notes that the schedule could change depending on possible weather issues.
Mason County won't be getting any assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help pay for the damage caused by a July 23rd flood. According to Maysville Mayor David Cartmell, whose city saw several of its homes and businesses ruined, the area didn't meet FEMA's $6.2 million standard for public and private infrastructure damage.
We thought we had about 6.7, but some of the federally funded roads were deducted from the total. So we ended up with about, I want to say, $5.7 million. So that doesn't meet the FEMA threshold. However, the SBA is here, the Small Business Administration Disaster Team is in here, and I think they've got less than 2% loans for people who were affected.
According to Cartmell, homeowners can receive loans from the SBA at interest rates as low as 1.75%. Businesses can get them at about 3.5%. The SBA is meeting with those with flood damage at the Kenton Commonwealth Center Monday through Friday from 8 until 5.
A truck that was stolen from Moorhead's downtown area has been recovered. WMKY's Sean Delaney has the details.
No chickens were harmed following a brief police chase in Carter County yesterday. The Carter County Sheriff's Department took 30-year-old James Glass into custody. Glass is accused of stealing a truck that was parked in front of Coffee Tree Books on Tuesday. There were multiple chickens in the bed of the truck at the time of the theft. He now faces multiple charges, including assault on a police officer, evading police, receiving stolen property, possession of meth, and probation violation. The victim says while her truck suffered a dent in the front bumper, someone did repair her tailgate while it was missing. She also notes that her chickens were not harmed. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
A Winchester man has been charged with child abuse after a 4-year-old boy told police his mother's boyfriend squeezed his head and bit his face. WKYT reports preschool workers notified social services after discovering bruise marks on the child's arms, torso, and face. When questioned by police, the child said his mother's boyfriend, Chuck Webb, gave him the injuries. Police say Webb regularly watches his girlfriend's child when she is at work. Webb told police the bruises are from the child slipping in the shower. He did not have an explanation for the bite mark. Webb was arrested and charged with child abuse on Wednesday. He is lodged in the Clark County Detention Center.
A man is in jail after Lexington police say he nearly ran over an officer with his car. WKYT reports police pulled over 23-year-old Harrison Whaley for reckless driving near Two Keys Tavern on South Limestone. Officers say they opened the door of Whaley's truck and were talking to him when he sped off, just missing one of the officers. Police found Whaley a short time later on Londonhurst Place. He's charged with DUI, fleeing or evading, reckless driving, and wanton endangerment of a police officer.
two criminal cases in Fleming County are headed to a grand jury. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 53-year-old Roger Lakes is facing charges of third-degree assault of a police officer, menacing, burglary, resisting arrest, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Deputies say they tased Lakes after he reached for his gun and told them he wasn't going to jail. 47-year-old Kathy Mitchell is accused of tampering with a witness. Both are held in the Mason County Detention Center.
The duct tape bandit's attempt to withdraw his plea deal has fallen through. WMKY's Sam Burton has more.
According to the Daily Independent, 35-year-old Casey Kazee robbed the Shamrock Liquor Store in Ashland in 2007. He attempted to disguise himself by wrapping his head in duct tape, bringing him into the national spotlight. In April 2015, Kazee agreed to a 12-year sentence in a plea bargain where he pled guilty to first-degree robbery. Kazee's attorney attempted to withdraw the guilty plea on the grounds that Kazee was unaware that the robbery charges were dropped against his co-defendant, Jeffrey Driver. The withdrawal was denied, and Kazee took the ruling to the Court of Appeals, which found that there was, quote, no abuse of discretion. Kazee is imprisoned at Eastern Kentucky Correctional Facility and could be eligible for parole in 2024. For WMKY News, I am Sam Burton.
2 weeks into the fall semester at Morehead State University, and enrollment numbers are not quite final. President Jay Morgan addressed the Board of Regents in a special meeting today. Morgan says he anticipates the numbers will be okay.
We know we struggle a little bit in graduate students, but we think all institutions are struggling in the graduate student world right now. All in all, we look like we could be stable. I don't know that we'll have a lot of growth, but stable is good.
Morgan says the final enrollment numbers will be presented to the Board of Regents in September.
MSU's AmeriCorps group received a $400,000 grant on Wednesday. The money is part of the $6.5 million in AmeriCorps federal funding for 23 programs, with more than 800 total members in the state. The grant comes from the Corporation for National and Community Service. MSU's AmeriCorps director, Mary Claire Williams, says the local match grant is just over $600,000.
AmeriCorps is a partnership between the public schools and the federal government, and the federal government piece, of course, is through the corporation. And then the local match comes from the public schools, so they pay a portion of the program's income in order to host an AmeriCorps member at their site.
Both grants will be used to recruit and train math and reading tutors who will be placed in public schools in the 22 Eastern Kentucky counties.
The Fleming County Board of Education will meet to discuss a possible tax increase. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the board will discuss enacting a compensating tax rate of 4% on real estate and assessed personal property values for 2018 when they get together at the Fleming County School District Central Office on September 6th. According to Fleming District Finance Director Greg Conway, the tax will go from 44.5 cents on every $100 of real estate and personal property to 45.9 cents. The increase will ensure that Fleming County schools will still get almost $3 million in revenue. This would mark the third straight year that the district will enact a 4% tax increase. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
A project to build a new elementary school in Lewis County gets underway this week. District Superintendent Jamie Weddington says the new school, which will cost an estimated $14 million, is much needed for his district.
So the first new school that the district has built since 1986. So, you know, we're looking at a 30-year time span where we didn't have any new schools built. So I think it'll be important for the district. Obviously, we needed a new building. The other building was built in 1932, so it's important that we're upgrading to a new, more modern building.
Weddington says the early phases of the project is in pretty good shape, and contractors should be able to accomplish quite a bit before cold weather hits.
According to one expert, improving the health and well-being of those in Central Appalachia involves more than just providing them with an increased number of doctors and services. Dr. Tony Weaver is the Assistant Dean for the University of Kentucky's Rural Physicians Leadership Program in Morehead. He's responding to a new study that shows that the region ranks well behind the rest of the nation in several key health indicators. including 7 of the top 10 causes of death in the United States. Weaver thinks the key to making Central Appalachians healthier could start with making them better educated.
And it may not be that you can force education on people as a way of improving their life expectancy, but the first thing we got to do is try that and see, because it's very clear that more educated people live longer. And this is obviously one of our problems, is them as a state where we allocate our money. If we take it out of education, then we, in effect, we just turn that money right back around and put it into excess health care costs and lost productivity. You can't win when you're doing that sort of thing.
Weaver says well-educated people are also better at implementing preventative health care measures, which involves a change in mindset, not the spending of more money.
Injured athletes looking to get back into the game may be able to speed up recovery time with a new form of physical therapy at Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital. The OLBH is the first in the Ashland area to offer blood flow restriction therapy for muscle recovery. Hospital communications specialist Kevin Compton explains.
We purchased a new system called the PTS Personalized Tourniquet System, and that is the equipment that our therapists use on individuals who are seeking this treatment. It really is applicable to anyone with an injury. You'll see a lot of individuals that could benefit. It's become really popular in athletics because it speeds up the time that it takes to get an athlete back on the field or on the court.
Compton says blood flow restriction therapy can improve muscle endurance in a third of the time compared to standard exercises.
Another water main break left several Ashland residents without service last night. According to WSAZ, crews arrived at the scene on Skyline Drive between Elwood and Hogston. City manager Michael Gracie notes the most recent string of water service issues can be attributed to the aging infrastructure, which is in need of replacement.
We know we've got a monumental, maybe even historical challenge to get fixed. Like most communities, we're looking at capital reinvestment into those water lines to get after the problem.
This is the 7th water main break in Ashland this week alone. Well over 10,000 people have had interrupted service over multiple incidents since August 15th.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the Olive Hill City Council has filled a vacancy on the panel. Kinsey Thompson reports.
The City Council made the decision during a special meeting on Monday night. After narrowing its possible selections down to 2, Russell Wayne was chosen for the job. Chris Bledsoe was the other candidate. Wayne says one of his goals is to help prevent the demolition of Olive Hill's historic buildings if possible. He also says he wants to help combat the local drug problem and create more opportunities for the city's young people. Wayne replaces Matt Kaiser on council. Kaiser became Olive Hill's mayor earlier this year after the death of Kenny Finkel. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly clear with a low around 56 degrees. On Friday, sunny with a high near 76. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. On Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 57 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 79 degrees, Winchester 78, Inez 78, Flemingsburg 76, Lexington 77, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 77 degrees.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with Stephen LaBeouf, a Native American and longtime resident of Moorhead. Stephen discusses his upbringing on the Blackfeet Reservation, cultural challenges he's faced working for the Indian Health Service, and the critical importance of listening to young people in suicide prevention.
My Indian name is Black Bear. I was born and raised on the Blackfeet Reservation in northern Montana, right on the eastern slope of the Rockies, right next to the Canadian border. Minus 60 degrees in the winter sometimes. We weren't allowed to speak our language or practice our traditional ways, so I didn't have a very stable life. I spent my first 15 years on the Blackfeet, but I was in and out of boarding schools, foster homes. I was in and out of the hospital for about 4 years, but I spent over a year in this one hospital in Helena, Montana. I don't remember my father ever coming to visit me there. I do remember my mother once in a while, but primarily the nurses were my mothers. My parents liked to drink, liked to party, so they were together for a year, and then over the course of life, each of them were married 7 different times. A lot of drinking, a lot of fighting. I didn't really feel like I was loved or cared for because they were kind of focused on their life. My grandfather, I remember he was a good and loving person. I'd wake up in the morning to the smell of coffee boiling on the wood stove and the wood smoke, and it was a warm and comforting feeling. And today, that still triggers those memories with me. My Aunt Margie was a horsewoman, good person. She was very small, and you didn't want to piss her off. She'd be right in your face. And I sometimes say that she was more of a mother to me than my own mother was. I got my master's in public health and then had this chance to go out to the Navajo Reservation, a CEO of a small 40-bed hospital in Crown Point, New Mexico. The Navajo culture was very different. The Navajo healing ceremony can sometimes last a week, even 2 weeks. The person who heals, we don't call them medicine person, will be conducting the ceremony. And the person who is ill, and they sit on a blanket in the middle of a hogan. Family and community relatives will come in and pray for the person. When I first went, I would sit in the waiting room and I would just listen to people. When they would get called, they would take them into a room and the nurse would do her usual checking and the doctor would come in and then you would leave. We had a 2 or 3 cadaver morgue. We would frequently go without electricity, and you had to transport the cadaver to Gallup, which was an hour's drive away. Before I came there, they would put them in the ambulance and transport them over. I quickly found out that they saw the hospital as a place to die, not to heal. They would not use the ambulance if I transported a body in the ambulance. So I started rearranging some of the services where there was more of an outreach. The uranium mining was creating a lot of sickness because it would leak into where the water flowed. I took this to the Indian Health Services area office and began talking about these issues with the area director. And she would try to shut me down. They didn't want that as an issue that was public because then they would have to take action on it. So I wasn't exactly popular with the area director or the bureaucracy at that time. I've been working in the suicide prevention for nearly 35 years. A young person is born innocent and loving. All they want is to be loved, cared for, to be included in their community and in their family, to be valued, and they need direction. They need to be taught. When a young person is rejected by a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you just need to respect who they are and work with them and listen to them. Some of us are able to work our way out of traumas and losses with the help of other people, and some people are in the middle of it and they're still holding on to that anger and that trauma, and they need to process it, not to forget it, but to help themselves heal, to be able to go on with their life in a good way.
Thanks very much for coming and talking to me.
Hey, no problem.
It's 4:49 and 77 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm Leanne Akers here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds close out their 3-game series with the Chicago Cubs tonight at Great American Ballpark. The Reds got beat up on by the NL Central Division leaders yesterday 9-3 in a game that saw starting pitcher Asher Wojciechowski go just 3 2/3 innings. Manager Brian Price says a good start this evening by Sal Romano will be critical for his club.
We need a good start. You know, we need a good start to give, you know, one day off doesn't reset your bullpen. You know, for the guys that didn't pitch today that have been pitching a lot or throwing a lot of pitches, they don't go back to, you know, to being totally fresh after a day off. So could use a good start and give some of these guys, a couple of days of rest so they can come back, you know, with a little bit more life.
The Cubs will send Jake Arrieta to the mound. First pitch is at 7:10. Some afternoon scores from around the MLB. Arizona beat the Mets 3-2. Miami outlasted Philly 9-8. Tampa Bay leads Toronto 2-0 in the ninth inning. Colorado leads Kansas City 3-2 in the eighth. The Yankees and Detroit are tied at sixth in the seventh inning. And the Dodgers and Pirates are scoreless after two. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says things are settling down at the running back position for the Eagles. According to Tenier, redshirt freshman Logan Holbrook continues to firm up his grip on the job and has been outstanding so far in practice.
He's becoming much more productive, not only as a running back, but a guy that can catch the ball on the backfield and handle our screen game as well. Roberto London, who was a redshirt last year, is really taken a step up and taking some good reps and being productive as well.
Tenier notes that UK transfer Arian Beasley is now practicing with the Eagles, while returning leading rusher Trevor Jones is still working his way back from an ankle injury. MSU hosts Kentucky Christian a week from tonight in its season opener. The Round County football team visits Bath County tomorrow as it bids to move to 2-0 for the season. It will be the first game of the year for Bath County, which lost several key seniors, including quarterback Ty Rogers from last year's 4-7 squad. However, Round coach Kelly Ford says the talent cut board is not bare for the Wildcats.
They still got a really good running back on Landon Schwartz, and I know they got the Rogers kid. I don't know his first name, but they've got some athletic kids. I know they got a tight end at 6'5", 265 pounds. So, I mean, they've got some good kids, so they'll be ready to go.
Bath roughed up around 40-14 a year ago in Moorhead. The Vikings last week outscored Morgan County 54-36. After having week one off, Wes Carter starts the 2017 season by hosting Powell County Friday. With several key players from 2016's 6-5 group having graduated, the Comets will be young this fall. Head coach Kevin Brown admits their hopes for a successful season will hinge on the production of their core playmakers.
From the quarterback to our tailback and things, and as they go, we'll go. And, you know, because a lot of the offense we run, it don't, everybody needs to block somebody, but it don't rely on us just bulldozing somebody every play or anything like that.
Tomorrow's game in Olive Hill kicks off at 7:30. The Morehead State volleyball team opens its season tomorrow by hosting the Eagle Challenge at Weatherby Gym. The Eagles will face Delaware State at 11 a.m. and Youngstown State at 7 p.m. MSU dealt with several injuries and illnesses going 11-20 a year ago, but head coach Jamie Gordon says his players enter their new season healthy.
There was a lot of intention from our players, but also our staff, from the coaching staff, our athletic training staff, the strength and conditioning staff, you know, to really make sure that what we were doing is getting them in that best position to, you know, get stronger, get quicker, but remain healthy. And I think that commitment from all of those parties has really showed some dividends.
Winthrop is also in this weekend's event. They face the Eagles on Saturday at 2 p.m. Still looking for that first victory of 2017, the 0-2 Morehead State soccer team is busy preparing for Friday's home match against Bowling Green. Including their two exhibition contests, the Eagles have scored just 4 goals so far. But Coach Warren Lipka believes their offense is making progress.
In the final third, you know, we're starting to build well. We're starting to get numbers forward. Now we got to start making, you know, the correct runs in the final third and create more opportunities and get the ball in the box and fight inside the box for some goals.
MSU's Friday game against Bowling Green kicks off at 6 o'clock. The Round County girls soccer team travels to Olive Hill this evening to take on Wes Carter at 6 o'clock in its second game of the year. The Lady Vikings turn around 48 hours later and travel to take on Belfry. Head coach Alan Evans says he hopes to learn a lot about his club over the next few days.
Just the adversity of it, a road trip, Belfry being a long road trip. And so seeing how we can do on the road this week, we have that inter-district opponent, then with West Carter, inter-regional opponent, and then outside of region with Belfry. And so see how we handle the different levels.
As for the Round boys, they host Montgomery County tonight. That game gets underway at 7:30. Finally in sports, the highly promoted boxing match between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor takes place Saturday at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. Mayweather, who will be looking to move his record to 50-0 for his career, guaranteed today that he will knock out the MMA superstar McGregor.
The same way he's talking about, he's giving it. Hopefully, he can take it this way.
But once again, remember what I said, 100% chance this fight won't go the distance.
The fight is expected to bring in over $700 million in revenue. I'm Braxton Howard for WMKY Sports.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Single game and season tickets for MSU fall sports are now available. Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Delaware State, Winthrop, and Youngstown State. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY News. U.S. markets were down modestly, with the Dow Industrial Average dropping 28.7 at 21,783.4, and the S&P 500 finished with a loss of 5.07 at 2438.97, and the NASDAQ Composite was down slightly, just down 7.08 to finish at 6271.33. Investors set their sights on Jackson Hole, Wyoming, as leaders of global central banks gathered for the annual Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. Fed Chair Janet Yellen and European Central Bank President Mario Draghi will both be attending, and both are scheduled to speak about global monetary policy this Friday. Today, Kansas City Fed President Esther George said that the economy was strong enough to handle more rate hikes, despite recent readings of weak inflation. The Spider S&P Retail Exchange Traded Fund was up almost almost 1% today, in sharp contrast to retailers' performance for the year to date. Retail stocks were driven today on better than expected earnings, and shares of Abercrombie and Fitch, PVH, Williams Sonoma, and Perry Ellis all closed higher. On the other hand, in the retail sector, Kroger stock was down 7.7%, one of the worst performers in the market, on news that the Amazon Whole Foods deal would be closed as of next Monday. Sovereign bond prices fell slightly ahead of the Jackson Hole Symposium as the yield on the 10-year Treasury note ticked higher to finish at just under 2.19%. And, of course, bond yields have been declining since the beginning of the year, and the U.S. 10-year note has actually dropped about 30 basis points since January. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.63% at $47.62 a barrel. Gold was down 0.28% at $1,291.10 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was up 0.16%. In Asia, markets were mixed as the Nikkei was down 0.42% and the Hang Seng index finished with a gain of 0.43%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Cisco and Merck. The worst performers were Walmart and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Signet Jewelers and PVH, and the worst performers were J.M. Smucker and Kroger. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 30 cents at $61.30, Marathon Petroleum up 96 cents at $51.13, AEP up 9 cents at $73.40, CSX down 49 cents at $48.38, AK Steel down 11 cents at $5.28, and U.S. Bancorp is up 4 cents to finish at $51.85. Reporting from Hilliard Lyons in Ashland for WMKY News, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This afternoon, we'll go out with The Doors, who recorded their first album 51 years ago today. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. We had help today from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Sam Burton, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, Tilden Johnson, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Chaz Jenkins. With our feature segment this afternoon, we had Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.